This is episode number 90 with Hunter McIntyre. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. What is up, everyone? Thanks so much for hanging out with me today and joining us on the School of Greatness podcast. My name is Lewis Howes, and I'm excited about this interview with the one and only Hunter McIntyre. Now, back in episode number 68, I had an interview with Mr. Joe DeSena, who was the creator of Spartan Race. And we talked about the powerful business that he's built with Spartan Race. Now, I'm bringing on one of the top Spartan Race competitors and really one of the top obstacle race competitors, Hunter McIntyre. He's been on the cover of magazines about this. Everyone's talking about him right now because he is this young kid who's literally taken a lot of obstacles in his life to try to figure out what he was doing, basically not doing anything in his life, making some major mistakes and dealing with all these obstacles without having direction. And what he did is something interesting. He actually took those obstacles and literally made it his profession. He makes a full-time living dealing with obstacles every day. It's kind of funny, actually, how it's all played out. But he is one of the top Spartan Race competitors, and I think he took third in Worlds last year, and so he's gonna go for the gold this year. And I'm very excited to dive into his brain and his heart and tap into what he does to be so successful and how he's actually translated his obstacles in his life, which we're going to talk about, and use them as something to be embracing these obstacles and actually make it a part of his life, dealing with obstacles every day to be successful. And I think you're really going to love this guy's energy. I've had a great time connecting with him, and I'm very excited to introduce you to him right now. So let's go ahead and let the class begin with the one and only Hunter McIntyre. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. My name is Lewis Howes. Thank you guys so much for coming on. We've got a new guest on the show. His name is Hunter McIntyre. What's up, man?
Just rock and roll, and happy to be back in LA, my friend.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we got to connect. We've been chatting for the last hour or so, and I feel like we could talk for like the whole day and never get to doing
exactly
anything.
Just having too much fun.
So we're finally doing the interview. We've been trying to do this for a while. Who's the guy who introduced us?
Scott Keneally.
Scott, yes. And he's a writer. He wrote an interview, a cover story on Men's Fitness or
Men's Journal.
Men's Journal. Yeah, but you're on the cover of Men's Fitness as well, right? Or no?
Not yet. Not yet.
We're working on it. Yeah. But you're on the cover of Men's Fit Journal
yeah.
a couple months ago or this month or last month?
It was
month?
In July.
Okay.
Yeah. I got some other cool work coming out. We're
yeah.
going to
yeah.
spread it all about there.
And you're basically like the bad boy of the Spartan world, Spartan
you know
race
what?
World.
Don't start out with that.
But you're actually a really nice guy.
I am a nice guy. Come on. Let's start from there and then we can get some nitty gritty.
Exactly.
There.
Yeah. And I'm fascinated by this world because I've been doing CrossFit for a while, as you know, and I'm a big athlete. I love sports.
Mm-hmm.
I love obstacle races, but like small ones, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never done a long distance training thing before.
Yeah.
But I did an interview with Joe, obviously, who's the founder of the Spartan Race. And I'll figure out the link to that. I'll put that in the show notes, which episode. But it's been fascinating to learn about this world and the culture of Spartan Race and why people are just so in love with it, almost more so than you say the CrossFit world.
I mean, it's an experience that is unique to this old school mentality of just brutal work and just like kind of just being such an animal out there. And I think people just like, you know, Scott's got this project he's working on called The Rise of the Sufferfest.
Yes.
And it's just about how the world kind of really wants to be taken away from these nice desks, these nice headphones and things like that.
Comfort.
Tortured.
Yeah.
And they
Why?
Love it.
Why do people like to be tortured? And that's what the Spartan race is like.
Sick in the head. You know, when I go out there, I've got like, you know, protectors on my knees and stuff. Like I'm playing it safe. But
yeah,
you know it's an incredibly raw feeling that I think people want to experience. And that's what initially attracted me to the sport. You're out there And like, you know, you go from being a kid when you're in the backyard and you're climbing up trees and you're lifting up rocks and you're flipping over all this weird stuff.
Getting muddy, dirty.
Exactly. And you feel so alive.
And scraped. Yeah.
And the next thing you know, as you get older, you kind of, you have to start showering more often to impress girls and things like that. And you kind of lose that passion for being a wild child.
Yeah.
And now you can just go right back to it. Like, you're seeing pictures all over Facebook of people just covered in mud, looking horrible and like blood and scrapes on them.
Right.
And they've never felt so alive.
Yeah.
So, That's it. Like, you know, I think people have found their calling again of just like, you know, just having that appeal of like fitness, but at the same time, like really living.
Sure. Now, were you an athlete before you got into the Spartan race?
I would say that I was a jock, not necessarily like a party jock.
Sure.
Yeah. So the idea was like, you know, you go in there, like you get out there on the wrestling mat, you know, tear somebody up and then get back off and you chug some beers with your buddies. Like, you know, like it was a party jock.
So you were never like on a sports team or you didn't do any like traditional sports?
Wrestling and cross country. But it was the type of thing where my dad said, you know, get a job or get out on the cross country field.
Mm.
Yeah.
And run cross country.
Yes, I did.
So running like 3.1 mile, it was like those races?
Yeah, exactly.
Like a high school, you mean?
Yeah, very basic. You know, get out there. Like, you know, the coach wasn't giving us anything too crazy.
Sure.
You go to a meet, you're in your little short shorts and a tank top. You run around, there's cute girls on the team, and like, you know, you're done once the weekend's over. Yeah.
Were you an exceptional cross country runner? Were you like one of the top?
I had a lot of raw talent type of thing. You know, my dad actually did start to press me in my senior year where he would chase me with a car and set it on cruise control. He was a madman. Still is. And,
gotta keep going.
Yeah, so I had a little raw talent, but I don't think, you know, I think it really takes a necessary mental, like, you know, you have to channel yourself to really have that kind of success. And like, you know, I've heard a lot about it in your podcasts, you know, to take yourself to that next level, and I never really wanted to be there.
You weren't passionate enough about just running by itself.
No, by no means.
Right, okay. So this was in high school, then did you go to college?
I did go to like three different colleges, and it was.
I went to four, so we're right there.
I'm one short of you. First, like, you know, I actually got in a lot of trouble in high school, so we can get to that later. Sure. But I got pushed out to University of Montana, and I was going like part time. Then I came back to Rhode Island. My family was like, you need to be near the family and kind of calm down for a bit. And then I was just like, I did a year there. And obviously I got forced into classes I couldn't even understand.
Right.
And just wanted to kind of have a good time, party a little bit now that I was free from what I was doing out in Montana. And then I did a community college. And from there, I was just like, you know what, guys, give me a break. And I pulled out and started to adventure the world.
What's that mean? Drugs and alcohol and sex?
You know what? That was all part of college, and it continued afterwards. But I think, you know, when you ask people what is greatness, that was my that's what I was searching for. You know, and it wasn't in my books. It wasn't at random universities. It wasn't
classes,
from it wasn't from professors that I could barely understand or hold a conversation with. Sure. You know, exactly.
It was experiencing the world.
Exactly.
Experiencing what your body wanted to feel and.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I really got out there. I've been all over the place, really well traveled. And I think it took that kind of experience to kind of ground me and find where I am now.
Mm. Yeah. So you dropped out of college. You never went back and finished?
No. My mom would love me to.
That's right. Yeah. It took me 7 years to finish just so. I went back to just complete the final five credits just to say I got it done, but it doesn't
proud
mean
of you.
Anything.
Very
yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah. So how long were you experiencing the world? And what were you doing on these experiences? Were you working? Did you find jobs here and there? Were you traveling? And
I kind of, as most young men will pick up like a bodybuilding book, and you know, my first hero being Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Sure.
You know, I was like, oh my God, this is so incredible and fascinating. I watched Pumping Iron, so I was like, I'm going to become super ripped. Maybe
that documentary.
What is Pumping
that the,
Iron?
Is that the documentary?
Yeah.
Is it good? I still I want to see that. I still haven't seen it.
Gosh.
Is it that good?
Oh my God! Like, let's stop this now and watch it. It is so good. I mean,
I saw him actually promoting it that it was on Netflix right now.
Oh my God, it's the best.
So I'm gonna have to watch it.
It truly is. It, like, you feel like you haven't really come into manhood until you've watched that.
Wow.
Yeah. You're
I'm
back.
Just a boy still.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I watched that and I said to myself, like, look, maybe I should just focus on my body and just get like super ripped. And that sounds kind of cheesy, but I think that's the most basic way of improving yourself.
Mastering your body is where it's at. If you can master your body, I think you can master anything.
Yeah. And that really gave me a lot of focus into other things. So I said to myself, I would put so much research into like, what's the best workout? What's the best diet? So I started to get infatuated with personal training, and then I got certification. I have 8 of them now, I think.
Wow.
And so I started to follow that, and also, like, you know, you start to look really good, and you're like, maybe I could take some pictures of this stuff. So
some modeling or something, you know?
Exactly. So I did a little bit of modeling, and, you know, the modeling world's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of smoke and mirrors at the same time. I'm not going to tell stories that are going to hurt anybody's feelings, but, you know, you can get used and abused in that industry, and it was a great time. You know, I had a lot of cocktails, met a lot of fun people, and took some pretty pictures of my underwear, but you know what? It just didn't last, and it wasn't playing out to be what I wanted
it
to be.
I've got two good buddies who, after college, they were like Abercrombie models.
Yeah, exactly.
And after college, they went to New York and to pursue modeling full time. And I read the article that you're about your whole stories with with the modeling stuff, and they pretty much got into very similar situations.
That's not talking
where about. Where you think you're going to be modeling doing one thing, but then really.
Yeah.
The photographer or someone has a different agenda and they want you to do things that you're not comfortable with.
Exactly.
And it just is like,
you know what? I met a lot of great people, and I think the industry as a whole is a beautiful thing. You know, it really does, like, you know, shine light on the beauty of people and, like, you know, what's going on in all different kind of places of the world and clothes and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it wasn't that for me.
It's very slimy people as well.
Yeah, so
that want to take advantage of young guys or
girls.
Or
exactly. Yeah. You're good looking. You're excited. And
you want to get photographed. Yeah. You want to get in the big placements. And so, what are you willing to do that?
Exactly. Yeah. And it took, I'll admit, it took me a few years of just kind of chasing that dream to figure out, look, let's pull back.
It's
and
not for you.
Exactly.
And this was in New York?
New York. I went to Barcelona. I went to Miami. It was a really cool experience.
Are you living in a house with other models?
Oh my God. I'll tell you something right now. I hope this isn't appropriate, but, so one of the first nights I was in Barcelona in this model apartment, I'm getting there and like these gorgeous girls and amazing looking guys. I'm like, I'm freaking so intimidated. This one girl is getting ready for a photo shoot, and I just came home from doing work at a shooter casting or something, and the girl's on the ground convulsing and throwing up.
What?
And she's got stains all over her pants, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And they're like, she took a bunch of laxatives because she wanted to get ready for a photo shoot tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, are you guys kidding me? Call the ambulance. Like, this is crazy. And I just realized how, like, we're all so naive. Like, these were 16-year-old girls, and they didn't understand what proper diet or what it was like to look in a bikini, so they ate laxatives.
Jesus.
Yeah, so it was mind-blowing.
Wow.
Yeah.
How old were you at the time?
I think I was 20.
20, wow.
20. So, I mean,
after college, you left to go do this.
Yeah, I didn't have much of a head on my shoulders either, I knew enough to call the ambulance.
Now, are these Americans, or they speak English? Or
A lot of them were Americans, but I mean, like, you know, everyone could speak English, but I think that's just kind of like the Trump language in most businesses. But it, you know, girls from London,
everywhere,
you know, all over the place, Europe, like, you know, a lot of kids from the United States.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How long were you in Barcelona for doing that?
2 months. 2 months.
It's an awesome adventure.
Exactly. I could have stayed out there longer, but I just realized, like, you know, I was getting I was getting screwed over.
Really?
the fees for my model apartment were like $2,000 a month or something, and I was like, I live in a bunk bed, like, what?
Six other people
in
the same room
in the nastiest part of Barcelona.
Oh, man.
Exactly. But I had a great time. Like, you know, we'd play soccer with the locals. They hated us. You know, it was a cool experience. Like, that was my semester abroad because I didn't do the college thing.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit different. I didn't have any books, just you know, some cervezas and you know, some dancing in my underwear.
Amazing, dude. Yeah. Okay, so after the modeling thing finished,
yeah,
you got up to like 220, right? You're 227.
I got huge.
Modeling?
No. After modeling, I said to myself, because you really do get infatuated with starving yourself, you know, so you could just, like, you know, size 29 jeans, duh, I'm going to fit in them. Yeah, like,
oh my God.
Exactly.
I think it was 12 the last time I fit those.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then I just said, I'm going to get as big as possible. And I did all the research, and as most guys want to do, they want to get as strong as fast.
Yeah.
So I did that. And that's when the Spartan Race came about. Mm. You know, you start to go online. Maybe I should see what these six pack abs can do.
Right.
And so from there, I basically went on active.com and I was looking at things. Then all of a sudden, like one of my...
See these events coming up. Yeah.
One of my buddies charges into my room, starts screaming about Spartan Race. And we lived in like a bro mansion in Malibu at this point, and like we didn't have much going on in our lives.
So tell me before you get into the Spartan Race, what's the bro mansion and how'd you get into that?
Oh my gosh. So this incredible experience, the 1 year that I did have in college, this kid named Muhammad was a very, you know, bizarre kid. A lot of fun. Not, you know, girls weren't very interested in him, but like we all had a blast with Mo. And we would just keep him like around. And he was like really smart, but like we never really know what Mo was up to. Like mm-hmm. we'd go into another room and he'd be on his laptop and stuff. So like Mo was kind
building
of like
a multi-million-dollar business in the background.
But exactly. I guess he was just like making money on the stock market like crazy. Like he built like an algorithm when he was 10 years old that could predict certain kind of things in the stock market.
Crazy.
Yeah, we didn't really know that though. Mo just was Mo. So I'm living and I just had finished my last semester at community college and I get a phone call and Mo says, I want you to come out to California. I got a first class ticket for you and I've got a brilliant idea. And I was like, whatever, Mo. And I check my inbox and I have a first class ticket.
Wow.
My mom and my dad flip out. Like, don't you go out to California. You were supposed to be in school.
Wow.
So I go out there and Mo.
Sorry, mom and dad.
Exactly. You had to try.
Of course.
So he pitches this idea to me about this social media company called Slingshot. And it's still being developed. We got an opportunity to be part of it. I'm not going to say anything bad. But he flew me out there. And then all of a sudden he flies out Andre. Then he flies out Matt. Then Andrew. Then Mingo. Ends up becoming eight guys, and then we start traveling all over Los Angeles and San Francisco and stuff. And
like the Facebook, like where exactly. They lived at a house for the summer and built it or whatever.
We were like an entourage type thing. Like we were trying to party really hard, but at the same time, like come up with a successful story. And like we didn't know what the heck we were doing. He was the only one with this like brilliant idea. So he buys this house in Malibu out there. And
how old is he?
He's at the time like less than 25, I think. It was 25.
Wow. And how old were you?
22, turning 23.
Jeez.
Yeah.
25 buys a huge house. That's got a lot of money already.
Huge. I mean, he goes it for a year, and I think he ended up somehow pulling out of it. I don't know what his financial situation was, but we had it for a year, and it was like a five-story multi-bedroom mansion with a trampoline in back, and we were just going buck wild.
On the beach?
I mean, it was close. Like, you know, Malibu's like type of thing where you live on the
hills.
Yeah,
right?
This side of the PCH or on the ocean, yeah. And it was just overlooking the ocean, like 180 degree view of all the place. And you know, we were just living this rock star lifestyle. And you know, I didn't do anything to deserve this. I had a bunk bed in this house.
Oh my gosh.
We would rent hotel rooms for like weeks at a time at the Roosevelt Hotel.
Shut up.
Yeah, and just destroy it.
Oh my gosh.
We had an amazing reputation there. And it just, nothing ended up getting done. So I started focusing more on me. That's how the Spartan Race came about.
For a year.
Yes.
Nothing, because you were just like partying, and that was
but
it.
I mean, like, we thought,
no focus.
We thought this was what it was like, because you'd start to hear all these success stories about startups. We were like, all right, we're doing it. Like, it's going to happen. But
what were we doing?
Let's drink a lot in the process.
Yeah.
So we were just getting buck wild. Yeah. And, you know, I wasn't holding back by any means. You know, I partook in any kind of opportunity, whether it be drinking, drugs, driving really fast on the highway, renting a hotel room at the Roosevelt, partying our asses off. You know, I lost kind of the concept of
reality
what it was. Yeah, exactly. Of what it was to be like a kid. Like all my friends were still going through college and stuff. Yet I was like telling these elaborate stories about being out there.
What? They
exactly.
Relate.
And my parents were freaking furious. They were going nuts. They couldn't stand what I was doing. You know, obviously I was having the time of my life and didn't. I'm happy that I pulled out, but then I found Spartan Race. And
So the guy comes in the room and he's like, Spartan Race.
Yes.
So at the Bro Mansion.
At the Bro Mansion. At the Bro Mansion. Like, let me tell you a typical day at the Bro Mansion. We wake up. We would, like, I would go lift some weights. Then all of a sudden, I'd find, like, a hummingbird jammed in the window. We'd all capture it and, like, celebrate capturing it. Start chugging a bunch of beer. And then we'd get on our laptops for a bit and try to get some of the agenda done for the day. And then you know, that'd pretty much be it. Then we go to the bars.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
in LA or Malibu or.
Yeah. Anywhere we can get our. Yeah, exactly. We'd pile in cars and start driving.
Jeez.
Exactly. So, this was just another day, except for this day we didn't find a hummingbird. My buddy had found something online. Yeah. We had BB guns and stuff. Yeah, we were just kids, dude. So he runs in the room and he's like, Spartan race. And we're going buck wild and start dancing around.
This is Sparta.
Exactly. Exactly. It was one of those scenes. Like, just, it looked just like a frat movie. And we signed up and everyone kind of just.
Right then, you signed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, everyone.
And I was like, I'm going to win this thing. And we're like, yeah. Yeah. We didn't know what we were doing, man. And when it comes to race day, though, no one ended up showing up except for my one buddy Andre, who ended up being like, you know, showing me off to this thing. So basically,
he's the one who told you about it.
Yeah, exactly. And
so he's like, I got to see what he can do.
Yeah. So I show up and I'm in my underwear and I'm in tube socks and wearing a bandana and
just underwear.
Exactly. And I ran my heart out. And
you ran hard.
Yeah.
Were you training for it? You start running miles or distance or
no, it was more so just like kind of like still the bro fitness, like, yeah, you know, yeah. Bench, squat, right. Deadlift. Yeah.
But every
like,
day.
Exactly. But you know, I was in Malibu. So, you know, I was doing the hiking and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I was an active dude in good shape in general. I actually think I remember being on, while I was training for it, I like, got on the treadmill. I was like, I'm going to try to run a 6 minute mile.
Wow.
And I pulled it off and I was like, wow,
that's pretty good.
Yeah. I feel good about myself. But, obviously I'm a totally different athlete now. Yeah. You know, if I look back on those days, I was proud of what I accomplished. But now it's just full time. I'm in the thick of it.
Right. So the first race, what happened?
I ended up going out. Yeah, it didn't go out in like the elite wave that everyone talks about, like that I compete in now. But I went into open heat and I just started tearing through these like mountains of just like mud. And,
throwing people behind you, like get in their head, get out of my way.
Exactly. People are like, oh my God, who's this big naked man? And I'm just running and I'm digging into the ground and I'm like, I'm alive.
Wow.
So yeah, it was really just like that moment. I was like, oh my gosh. What have I been doing?
Missing out on.
Yeah. Wow. And it all came down. I think I came like sixth or ninth overall. I can't. It's one of those two numbers.
You know, but, the whole thing or that heat.
Yeah. And then Malibu is one of the most popular ones. So like thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people.
So top 10.
Yeah.
How many? So 5 or 10,000 people.
Oh, there. Yeah. I bet you it was more so above 10,000.
Wow. And you got top 10.
Yeah.
Out of everyone.
Yeah. And I saw that and I was like, oh, wow. But then I didn't really put too much thought to it. I was like, maybe I could be a really good athlete. But then I just like... You know, I pulled back and I didn't allow myself to get too excited about that fact. So,
really?
Yeah. And just went back to like personal training and drinking beer and doing the bro stuff. And for some reason, like around March next year of my birthday, I just like had this like big calling. Like, you know, something came up inside of me saying like, you need to go back to it.
So you spent a year off.
Yeah.
You did one race and then took a year where you didn't
almost.
Go again.
It went from like November until March.
So yeah. 8 months or something.
Yeah.
So why did you wait that long? Why did
because
if you loved it, why didn't you go back and do another one a few months later?
I think I was just, my brain was so saturated with like drugs and dumb ideas from us being in that bro mansion thing.
You weren't focused.
Exactly.
You didn't have a calling still.
No. And I think, you know, that's the same thing that happened with me in high school. Like I could have had that, I had that raw talent. I could have done something great with it. You know, my coaches were like, you know, would always give me that most potential award. Like, Hunter, you should really put some focus into this, but it just.
You didn't care.
Exactly. So, you know, around that time in March, it just came back to me. And I said, I got to go back out. Like, I'd moved back to New York City because I had to pull out of this crazy madhouse. And and I was in New York City. And I was like, I got to go back to LA and I got to start being the man.
Being the man.
Yeah.
So, you're in New York. Where were you living?
I was living on my brother's couch in New York City.
Nice.
Yeah.
Manhattan.
You gotta love the couch living.
Dude, I lived in the couch in Ohio for a year.
Isn't that great?
A lot of good ideas coming in there.
Right. Yeah. You always wake up so inspired. You're like, I need to get off this couch.
Literally get off the couch. Yeah. Were you working in New York or no?
You know, I was doing the personal training thing. You know, it was, this is when I realized that I needed to become something
bigger.
Yeah. Something bigger because not to put down personal training or anybody's job, but like nobody needs necessarily another personal trainer to influence the world or change the world. And I was going around making crazy good money, walking around Central Park with these wealthier women and getting them in shape. And I'd be like,
100 bucks an hour.
Exactly.
Whatever,
I was like, run for 60 seconds, walk for 60 seconds, run for 60 seconds. Yeah. And I was like, what am I doing? You know, and look, I could have a great job right now. I could have be all set up and save money for my family, put them through college, blah, 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 you know, going that path. But I had that calling, as I said. Mm. And I'm sure a lot of people have that, you know, that's that moment in their life where they want to change things.
Yeah.
And it happened to me. Like, you know, it didn't happen during college. It didn't happen during high school. It just happened this random moment. I don't know why.
In New York.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, my family, I've got a lot of success stories in my family, and, you know, it sucked sitting at the table, not ever having
and
money.
You're like, oh, I'm just a bro.
Yeah.
Drinking
just,
and
just, yeah, exactly.
Partying.
The youngest of them all, like, you know, chugging beer on the subways and blah, blah, blah. Nothing was going for me.
Yeah.
So I came back here and decided I would establish myself, get a little bit of personal training out here and start to take, like, you know, take the charge towards being the best.
Wow.
Yeah.
In personal training or back into the Spartan?
Spartan race.
So you're going to be working as a personal trainer and you started doing spin.
Yeah. Spin instructing in a place called Yaz in Venice Beach. Uh-huh. And then I moved out to Malibu and taught at Malibu Fitness. Sorry about that.
Yep.
And I started, like,
so you know, that's how you're making money, but then
making
you're
making,
like,
a few bucks on the side.
But then you were like, I'm really training
100%.
For Spartan Race. Yeah. Did you know you could make any money with Spartan Race at the time? Or you kind of like, I just want to be the best?
Yeah, I just want to be the best, you know? And the feeling was, is like, you know, I have, embarrassing enough, I have a tattoo of Macho Man Randy Savage on my ribs right now.
Let me see.
I'll show you. I'll knock over your microphone, but he's got his finger up in the air. You see him doing that?
Yeah.
So, you know, I had that mentality, like, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm walking in every time and I'm like, I'm throwing down. Yeah. So, throwing down. Exactly.
Oh, man.
So I just, like, you know what? It was so back in the Stone Ages when I started getting into it. And, like, you know, nobody cared if you were the best mud runner type guy. And I didn't care. Like, I was like, I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it happen.
But it wasn't big then.
No. So I just started getting out there and started running around all these venues and, like, you know, calling out the big guys. And, like, you know, there was this one guy named Hobie Call, and he and I would just duke it out. We duked it out for like a whole year until I beat him. Like, I'd be like a minute behind him.
Shut up.
16 seconds behind
him.
No
way.
Yeah, it was just like we.
Was that so frustrating?
Oh,
you see him just
God,
like 20 yards ahead of you?
I went nuts. And I did everything I could, and, you know, eventually I got him. And
wow.
How'd
that feel when you finally got him?
It was incredible. It was incredible.
Like, that's right, I'm the best there ever was.
Exactly. But you know I wanted more, and I dug deeper, and more people came in, and
it started to get bigger and bigger, more competition.
Exactly. And I'm the type of person who cannot do anything just a little bit. It has to be like a billion percent.
Yeah,
exactly. And like, I won't eat, I won't sleep, I will just work.
Yeah, you and Greenfield are very similar.
Yeah,
he's like all in to the 100th degree.
Yeah, but like
ridiculousness,
like, only with paleo though.
Yeah.
Raw crazy foods. Oh, you kind of grossed me out. So
you beat your nemesis.
I did, but now...
And these were different. This wasn't Spartan Race. This was every obstacle course
every race. Anything I could get my hands
tough
on.
Tough Mudders.
Yes. I mean, I haven't done a Tough Mudder yet.
Really?
No, but I'm going to World's Toughest Mudder in November.
Wow.
And it's going to be pretty awesome.
Wow, okay.
More on that later.
So how many different races are out there that you've done, or that what are the main ones?
There are five main ones, like, you know,
Tough Mudder,
Spartan Race, Warrior Dash, Savage Race. There used to be a one that was going really well called Superhero Scramble. Mm. And all a bunch of goofy names, but they have cash on the line, so it draws in, like, you know, D1 athletes who are just, like, you know, didn't have anything going for them, so they just run for gold now. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So it's this new world, and then, jeez, like, you know, this.
How much cash can you win if you win a Spartan Race?
The biggest ones, I think, are, like, you know, World Championships. I think this year is $60,000. Average ones like $500, just because, you know, get some people out there. And then there's some of, like, you know, $2,000, $5,000. Mm. So nothing incredibly major just yet. But, you know, that's the thing. It's this new sport, and it just keeps on growing, and sponsors keep on coming on. And it's very excited to be, like, you know, riding that tidal wave. But, you know, I don't know where I am at this point. You know, I'm about to be in World Championships. I got 4 weeks coming out, and, you know, it's this pinnacle moment in my life. But, like,
how'd you do at the last World Championships?
I took third. And the same exact thing happened to me, which happened this last weekend. I rolled my ankle, and it just, like, you know, it's funny to, like, call yourself the king of the mud, but, like, you know, I'm at that weird position in my life right now where I'm like, what am I doing? You know,
like being back in New York again. Like, what am I doing?
Exactly. I'm sitting here in LA right now, and like I'm sitting in front of you, and it's so exciting to be part of this opportunity. But you know, I've been listening to all these incredible, inspired people on your podcast, and it's just, you know, a lot of them come back to the same moment of like, you know, what is this, you know, moment of greatness? And am I there with this world championship event? You know, it took me a long time to get where I am right now. And now I'm kind of at that next point in my life where I'm kind of soul searching.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you might be done with the Spartan race.
No, not necessarily, but I definitely want to just expand upon what I'm doing. Uh-huh. It's crazy because, like, you know, you put so much time into something. Like, let's say if you go into the gym and you want to bench 225 pounds and you work at it for months and you slave over the idea of it.
Then you get it.
Yeah.
And then what?
Exactly.
It's interesting. I don't know if you heard the episode with AJ Roberts. But did you hear that one?
Uh-uh.
It took him 10 years to become the world's strongest man. He broke the world record for 3 combined lifts, which is the bench press, the deadlifts, and the squat.
That's incredible.
I think he did like something like 2,500 pounds or something, like with all three, or 3,000 pounds combined or something. Like, it was an 850 pound bench press. It's like,
holy crap.
It's ridiculous weight. Yeah. Like, insane. And it took him 10 years to do this journey. He started as like a 150-pound dude when he started, and then he finished at 320 or something.
He weighed 320?
Yeah, when he broke the record.
No.
Yeah. It might have been 330 or something. I mean, to push that much mass, you got to have some mass.
Yeah.
And it took him 10 years of every day training at the world's greatest gym in Columbus, Ohio, actually, with all the top bodybuilders train. And he said, like, he broke the record, and then he realized it was time to retire. He was like, what's next? He's like, I'm at the peak. I could keep doing this for a while, but it was like, I'm doing it for 10 years. Now what's next?
Yeah.
Over the last 2 years, he's lost over 100 pounds to try to become the fittest man in the world.
CrossFit?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Is he that big blonde guy? I think I read about that a while ago.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So he's kind of like giving up that. He's more like teaching CrossFitters how to do powerlifting now, like the right way. But he's still like shredded and like 250 or 240 and just like a machine. So he's kind of transitioned as well.
Yeah.
But it sounds like, what's the soul searching for you,
you know,
leading to? What do you think you want to do?
I think, you know, I just, at a point in my life right now where like, this is very exciting. Like, you know, I didn't mean to throw a curveball at you when I made that comment. Where I'm at, I'm so appreciative to be here. So the idea is how do I take, you know, the mentality of what I put in to get where I am right now and share it kind of just like the way you are on these podcasts.
Yeah.
And, I'm just kind of going to try to translate that to the people. You know, this Macho Man tattoo means much more than just an outline of a crazy wrestler.
Sure.
You know, it's, you know, being able to walk into almost any situation and understand that if you want to command it, you can.
Mm.
And a lot of people allow themselves to be crippled by the situation they're in. You know, like, you know, a woman says it's New Year's and she's like, I really need to lose 30 pounds. These jeans look horrible on me.
Sure.
So like, you know, if you own your jeans and you tell your jeans, like, you know, I'm fitting in these things, I'm gonna look fabulous in like 30 days, you can do it.
Yeah.
So I'm at that point right now where I kind of just had this little injury and, like, you know, I have to recreate the moment that I'm living right now because I can't do it on the same path I just was on.
Right.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So
what do you think you want?
I don't know. You know, it's going to be pretty exciting. These days have completely, I just got flipped over on me. Like, and everything just kind of just like, it was the wave crashed over and now I'm in the whitewash. I got to get my head up and do a little bit of thinking.
Interesting. I mean, the waves are pretty big right now.
Exactly, dude. That's
perfect timing.
Exactly. That's what made me think about that. But, you know, really.
I mean, what's the ultimate goal for you in the Spartan race world? Like, is it to win the world championships? It's like,
yes.
You have this goal, this vision to be the best for how many more years?
Oh, yeah.
Is it, will you not stop until you win a world championship, until you get a certain amount of sponsorships? What's the goal for this, at least?
I will admit I had that selfish feeling of I wanted to have all the sponsorships.
Sure.
I wanted to have all the money. And I think a lot of people walk in, like, you know, with that kind of feeling. And that has faded.
Okay.
Why? Why? Well, you have to understand money can only do so much.
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, when, you know, I try to think as I was coming here, like, what is my definition of greatness? And I won't give it just yet. But, you know, if you allow money to define you and the t-shirt you're wearing, the kind of company you're wearing to define you, I don't think that really makes
the girlfriend you're with.
Exactly. Exactly. And that, I think that is just like the momentary feeling of satisfaction.
Mm.
And I'm not there right now. So what I really like to accomplish is being able to accomplish winning an event like that and being able to tell the story of what it took
to get
and,
there.
Yeah, exactly. And not necessarily just for myself now. Like, I've been really thinking a lot in the past year or so about writing a book. You know, I'm going to give away the title. Don't steal it. Live hard, train hard, die happy. And yeah, exactly. Cool. Exactly. And I think it would be a fun experience for people to understand, you know, that's applicable to anything.
That's going to be my next blog post. Live is hard. No, I'm just kidding.
No. I got to call the copyright man.
That's really cool, man. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. What if you never win the world championship? Then what?
I think it'd be an even better book. Mm. You know, there's...
How would you feel about it if you didn't win?
You know, I think I would have just think that I wasted some of my days. Maybe not necessarily that I was doing the wrong thing, like doing the wrong sport or, you know, being in the wrong industry. It was more so like, could I have like not done squats on Tuesday, but focused on running? Like, you know, that would probably be the thing that would hurt me the most. I would try to dissect my life.
You think you'd regret it if you don't win?
No. No, I think, you know, I'm going to give myself many years at this. And,
so you're not done after the next couple of years.
No. I'm going to have a blast.
And how old are you right now?
25.
So you got a lot of...
Hell yeah.
You're not even hit your prime yet.
I mean, I just got
28,
beat.
29.
I just got like, beat by a guy who's 40 this weekend.
What?
Yeah.
And how long was the race?
Hour and 48 minutes, and he finished an hour and 47.
How many miles is that?
It was just, I think, about 8.
He's 40?
Yeah. But like that's like, you know, Meb, who just won the Boston Marathon. These guys are like 38 years old.
They've been putting in this the years of training and the experience. They know exactly what to do, when to do it. They've got like...
It's like playing chess.
It is.
Yeah.
And your body is not even fully developed.
No.
Like when you're 29, 30, that's like really the peak, yeah. I think. Maybe for these obstacle races, maybe it's 35, 40, it sounds like. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the guy I was telling you I was chasing before, Hobie Call, you know, he's 36 right now.
Wow.
And these guys are all just rock stars. I think their bodies just have just been, they're suffer soldiers. They've just experienced so much of just
pain.
Going, exactly. And they know it. They can read almost everything. Like, they can read me. They can read the course.
And they know themselves. And they know how to push through when their mind is telling them not to. They can be like, I'm going to live.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of feeling the pain. Just like,
it's because they've been there so many times.
Yeah, they know how to do
it. You know, last year World Championships, I had never done anything over 2 hours in my entire life.
Wow.
And the race took me 3 hours and 45 minutes. I was blindsided by like that 201 minute. Like, I just was like, oh my gosh, what have I done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's just the experience of doing 10 of those where you're a 3 hour races and you get the experience.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Jeez, man.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to downtime. That's the main thing I'm really excited about. You said, you know, what's up next? November and December, steak and beer.
Yeah. Steak and beer.
Steak and beer.
Now, so what'd you get at last World Championships, you said?
Third.
Okay.
Third.
And do you win any money or?
Yeah, you do win money. I think it was
$1,000.
Yeah, $5,000 last year. But, you know, that obviously turns over into sponsorship money and things that. You know, I had a pretty cool fall. Like, you know, I was on 3 magazine covers. Everything kind of came so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After the World Championships?
Yeah. I mean, everything kind of develops like, you know, months down the line. Sure. But like, you know, the fame from that and all that stuff just kind of pushed up and over.
And the fame of Spartan Race blowing up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, who are the main people in it and what are they doing?
And exactly. And NBC is all over this thing right now. We have 7 episodes and, you know, that.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
Doing so, what? Featuring individuals?
Featuring individuals and races. Like the race that I was just at in Virginia was just featured.
Wow.
New York, a couple months back, Virginia, like all these crazy places. Vermont's going to be featured. And
they're interviewing you a lot of them? Or
Yeah. So they'll sit me down just like this. That's and cool. We'll talk about it. Like, what have you been doing out in Colorado, Hunter? We haven't seen you in 2 months. Like, tell me the nitty gritty. And so it's fun. You know, it's like kind of like a docudrama.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They fill you in about the athletes,
that's
the
cool.
lifestyle. You know, they kind of film the mom and pop gym.
Sure.
Exactly.
Interesting, man.
Yeah.
Now, Reebok's your main sponsor, is that right?
Yes.
And they're the main sponsor for Spartan Race as well.
Yeah, I'm very spoiled to be working with them. They're
really? They treat you pretty well?
They treat me really well. And I think the thing about Reebok is they don't want to go after the Lance Armstrongs and the, you know, Peyton Mannings. They want to come back to the kind of homestyle fitness, you know, things that everyone can kind of get into. And they respect more so of an athlete like me. And they really will bring me around. They'll fly me out and have me look at gear and stuff. Really? So yeah,
see what works.
And exactly. We've been on the development stage and it's incredible. I mean, Reebok has really changed their brand.
They have done a great job.
Yeah.
Especially what started with CrossFit. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really capitalized on getting in on that early.
But it's crazy. I mean, they've taken over an entire population.
With like these extreme kind of like workout type athletes, right?
Yeah. But you got to love it. I mean, it's also, you know, they look good.
They look good.
You know, Reebok, I'm not to knock my sponsor by any means, but I feel like they just kind of got hit by a truck and fell apart for a couple of years.
Oh, of course, that truck being Nike. Like 10, 20
yeah, exactly.
years.
Exactly. Yeah. And these major brands came in and, you know, you just never heard about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
now they're like back on the scene.
And I'm pumped, you know, to be the face of something like
that. Yeah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And there's, you know, a couple other interesting sponsors that I work with. And, you know, that's also a very unique experience, being able to market brands and kind of grow as, like, you know, as you have your sponsors and things mm-hmm. like that. They develop products around you yeah. and your sport. And because yeah. our sport is so new and unique, you know, I get to really have a lot of input on their products
That's
as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now you can make full-time pay from these sponsors?
Yes.
You don't have to work? You can just train?
Yeah. I mean, I do like, you know, I work with SoulCycle. I really do. I have a lot of passion for being on the bike. It's just an incredible experience. But yes, I have a full-time job with this sport and
That's
great
nice.
Sport. Yeah.
It's got how many people can have a full-time pay as a...
I'd say there's probably like two or three at this point. Yeah. You know, if people, it's growing enough that people, you
Eventually
know, you'll see
more.
A dozen by the next 2 years of just like rock stars.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're pretty close with all the other top athletes.
Oh my gosh. You know, that's the cool thing about our sport as well. I call my enemies every day.
Really?
They're not my enemies. Like, you know, the guy who just beat me, I talked to him. He's like, dude, you want to come out and stay with me in Alaska for a couple of weeks?
Because
like,
you got to train and hang out.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just bros.
That's cool.
And, you know, that's the cool thing. And also the people of the sport, I get contacted by random people all the time.
Sure.
And I can talk to them about random part of the course. Like, yeah, you know, they experience, then I experience.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's definitely
I'm going to have to do this now. I'm going to have to try one.
You know,
short one.
Stadium race. I tell everybody stadium race. You're not going to get too dirty. And you're going to experience, like, you know, all the crazy monkey bars, ropes,
really?
Things like that. And it's not too long.
Huh.
Yeah. And if that's just a little taste.
And then I can go do like the mountains
oh,
or
yeah.
the woods or
yeah.
something.
And then you got to come to World Championships and get really
That's
sucked.
That's Vermont,
much.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
How long is that going to take to finish?
We have this crazy race director named Norm Kosh, and he is so dangerous. I mean, he will take anything and turn it into just like, you know, the pits of hell. And Jeez. He'll take a mountain that is Mount Killington.
Yeah.
And
which I snowboarded on.
Yeah, and yeah, beautiful place to snowboard, but not to go up and down with a sandbag on your back. And it'll probably be about almost 5 hours this time.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. He wants to make it longer. He can't Miserable. Add more miles, but he can make it harder with the obstacles.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Yeah, I'll stick to like a 5-miler.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm just going to bring like a bag of bacon with me. Last year, I think my biggest problem was nutrition.
Not
yeah.
enough food.
Yeah, you just need
exhausted.
That. Exactly. I want to have that kind of crunchy, nice feeling of bacon with me this time. Yeah.
It'll be cold though.
Oh,
right?
Nothing wrong with that. I can make it work.
Okay, so you got the World Championships coming up. That's in Vermont, right?
Yes.
That's September.
September 20th.
September 20th.
Yep.
Is it going to be streamed live online? Is there a place we can watch it?
You'll be able to see it delayed on NBC about 2 weeks afterwards, and I think there will be some version of live streaming.
Okay.
I don't know the media source, though.
Are you going to be posting your training and stuff on Instagram and Twitter, and what's your main social media?
You can follow me. My athlete page is Hunter McIntyre.
Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook. Hunt the Sheriff on... Hunt the Sheriff on Instagram. And we have a really cool podcast called Obstacle Dominator. And we
I like
have,
that name.
Yeah.
With
right?
you and Ben, right?
Feels macho.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ben's a great guy, really fun.
Ben Greenfield.
Yeah.
Who's got another show, podcast that's part of the Integrity Network. That's the podcast network that I have. But I think it's just called The Ben Greenfield Show.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's brilliant.
He's really good. Yeah.
I'm lucky to have someone like that on my side.
Yeah. It's nice. Yeah. Now, did he reach out to you about doing a show or?
We ended up bumping into each other in Temecula at
a
race.
Spartan race.
Yeah. Huh? And I was just like, dude, I really respect what you do. And I, I really want to, you know, do a couple projects coming up. And he's like, dude, funny thing is I want to do some projects. And I was like, we kind of
like, all right, bro.
Yeah, let's do this. So from there, we kind of just kicked it off. And that was about 6 months ago. And we've got, it'll be a 9th episode on Sunday coming out.
Nice, man.
Yeah. And it's getting a lot of traction. That's cool. I think we got like, I don't know how many thousand subscribers, but it's like, it's just a stupid number, but it's big.
It's great.
It's exciting for me. Like, yeah. I think that all these people, I get hit up by random people. Like, you know, it's so funny to meet you in person. Like, I listen to you all the time.
That's cool. Yeah.
That's a really fun feeling. I mean, the same exact feeling I had when I met you. I was like, no way, this guy. Yeah. So yeah, I think that's something that has been really fun developing in the sport and having that that opinion on the sport and being able to share with the people, because otherwise it's just me in a garage gym just pumping iron all day long. But now I get to talk about all the fun parts.
That's
about
cool,
it.
Man. Are there any other obstacle race show podcasts?
There's obstacle racing media, but it's like, it doesn't have that much. It's not too exciting.
It's not like the two guys who are doing it in the trenches.
Exactly.
And has Ben any good at them? I know he's Ben, like a fitness freak,
Ben fires down. You know, he's a tough dude. He'll get like a couple top tens.
Really?
Yeah.
In the Spartan race?
Exactly. Yeah. He's a very fit
person.
He's
a triathlete, like hardcore triathlete, right?
Yeah. He's always doing crazy workouts. He was just down here in San Diego at the Seal Fit training camp.
I think I saw something like
that. Yeah, exactly. He's just getting the crap beaten out of him. I did it last March.
You did?
It was 2 Marches ago.
Crazy, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
You actually went to the... qualified for the Navy or something?
Yeah, I did. I mean, like, I was supposed to go into the Navy. You know, as I said, I had that really rough past. I've been arrested a bunch of times, and like my recruiter was like, just lie about everything.
Shut up. Exactly. We'll take you.
Exactly.
So you got accepted, and then what happened? You didn't
get sworn in for 2 days, and then I got called and I got rolled out, and I was on the way to being a Navy SEAL. But you know, I had to obviously go through buds and all that stuff, but yeah, they just booted me out of the Navy. They didn't want
me.
They
booted you out because they found out about your past.
Yeah, all my arrest records and things like that. So it was sad. It was a sad story.
Were you bummed or were you kind of like relieved?
No, I was incredibly bummed. Like, I think, you know, honestly, to be part of such an elite tribe.
Yeah.
Yeah, just it's a very awesome feeling.
It's an honor probably, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're doing that in your own way.
Yeah.
Without having to give up your life.
Well, you know, I think something that I have really enjoyed the most is just like that kind of bro life. Yeah. And it's that kind of tribe life of just being with all your buddies and progressing as a pack. And
yeah.
You're tight. You're like,
doing crazy stuff and conquering the world.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's my little life in a nutshell.
But, that's cool, man. Yeah. Well, I want to have you come back on sometime, maybe after the World Championships or maybe like mid next year when you're on the next adventure.
Oh, yeah.
I'll
fill you in.
And where's a good website? Is there a website for you specifically? Hunter McIntyre?
My website's actually being developed right now. So
just go to Facebook and
Instagram.
Yeah,
you can just find
me
anywhere. If anybody wants to chat, dude, I'm a big Facebook guy. If you just want to hang out, have a good time.
Bro out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
bro chat.
Exactly. So just hit me up. I mean, this has been an incredible experience, and I know we're both in LA, so we're going to become best of friends now.
Yeah, we'll hang, bro.
Exactly.
Bro. Last two questions then. What are you most grateful for recently?
What I'm most grateful for is... an understanding of the people who surround me. Mm-hmm. Being an athlete, you either have to be incredibly selfish or just incredibly dumb. Not to say like, you know, dumb meaning that you can't even see people outside of yourself. The selfish side is meaning that people who want to be the best and most elite people in the world really kind of just cast out everything else around them. And the dumb thing meaning is like, if you just can't even see those people, because I've had to step on a lot of toes and make a lot of people cry to get where I am right now. And I don't mean that in the wrong way, but like, you know, I don't ever go home and see my family. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I've had girlfriends that just are like, just curse me out. They're like, what is wrong with you? Why
are
you
so focused?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've really started to soak up the phone calls with the family, spending time with my friends, things like that. And you know, it's just, it's a great feeling to have those yeah. people at the end of the day.
Yeah, of course. Because yeah. at the end of the day, why are we doing everything?
Yeah.
What are we so driven for?
Exactly.
If we're not sharing it with people we care about.
Exactly. 365 days. I mean, how many days in a year? Like 364 days in a year, I am spending it with my friends, my family, everything like that. And then I put it all on one day, like for the Olympics or this yeah. race and things like that. It's silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You're wasting your time.
Now, if you were, because Joe, I think, mentioned on the podcast that trying to make the Spartan race an Olympic sport. Is that right?
Yes.
What would that be like? If it becomes an Olympic sport, would you?
I think I would be more on the more administrative side.
You wouldn't want to be an athlete?
I think it's just become a, I don't know.
You wouldn't want to be on the American team? And
I think I really want to, but that sounds pretty crazy. I think it just would be just be so much pressure.
Yeah, but to go to the Olympics, man.
All right, fine, I'm going. I would definitely go. What am I saying?
Yeah, right?
I definitely would like to
you can compete help and train. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but I mean, that's probably decades away.
You think so?
Yeah. In
10 years at least, yeah, so who knows?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, final question. Yeah. What's your definition of greatness?
Definition of greatness would probably have to be just being satisfied with silence and what you have at the end of the day. Because if I was like Napoleon and trying to conquer all the time for greatness, I think I would be swallowed up by it. And I've been that person for a long time. And feeling great and about what you just have in the moment, that's a pretty satisfying feeling.
It is.
Right?
It is for sure.
Exactly. Put away all the cell phones, everything like that, and just like have what you have.
I like it.
Yeah.
Hunter McIntyre, thanks, brother. Check him out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'll have all the links in the show notes, but I appreciate you for coming out, man, and being so real.
Dude, I appreciate you, man. This is awesome.
It's been a blast.
Yeah, of course.
And there you have it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please go ahead over at the show notes at lewishouse.com/90 and share this with your friends over on Twitter and Facebook. And if you've got some other friends that you think would be up for the Spartan race or the obstacle race challenges, then have them take a look at this episode and see what it's all about. I think they would enjoy it. Also, if you have not left a review yet over on iTunes, please go ahead and leave one of those right now. If you're on your phone, you can just click on the podcast School of Greatness and then click on the reviews and let me know what you think. Leave some feedback. Would love to hear your feedback on the show. And by reviewing, that's also going to help promote the show and support the rankings on iTunes. So that would be a big help if you do like the show. With that, guys, you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great. Thank you.